How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 353. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO for Advanced Local. Hey, friend, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
You weren't feeling too good last week.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm feeling better, man.
Much better. Yeah, it's sinus issues, man. They can just tear you a new one. Can't even focus. I'm glad I'm back up at it, and hopefully I'll actually get to use my new kayak, which I still haven't used.
Bring it here, use it at my pond.
That'd be a short trip, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just paddle around in circles, you'd be fine.
Yeah, there you go. Safe, unless I drink it. Yeah. Okay, so let's just jump right into this. I can't honestly recall if we covered this in the last show or it's...
No, we have not covered it yet, so we should probably cover the basics.
Okay, so Google had an issue with de-indexing, and people were freaking out, understandably, whereby it said that it had not indexed sites. And this is actually where I get confused, I have to admit, John. I remember people saying that it said it hadn't indexed, but they could find their pages. And then I remember people saying that it said, that their sites were just simply de-indexed or pages.
So there were some sites. So basically what happened is some sites, people started noticing massive losses in organic traffic. Some people went in and they do a site colon and none of their pages of their sites showed up. Some people found that percentages of the pages of their sites had been dropped. So it was a mixture of both.
Okay. But there was also some where it actually was indexed, but Search Console was saying otherwise, right?
No, it was the other way around. Search Console was saying it was indexed, but when they went to look for the page via site colon.
There you go. See, I didn't have anyone have that happen except until this morning, actually, even though it's supposed to be fixed now, where the example given, I will find again. Here, while I do that, you go ahead. I want to make sure I'm going to say this right.
Well, it was interesting because people are estimating, and this is just people are saying kind of thing, because Google will never tell us, that approximately 4% of the Google index got dropped somehow. And then...
that's huge.
Yeah, it was Thursday or Friday of a week or so. It was Thursday or Friday. Friday the 5th, I think, is when it hit. But people started reporting and seeing stuff happening on Thursday. So the 4th and the 5th is where this has really started happening. People were noticing it, talking about it, sent stuff to John Mueller on Twitter. He said, I'll pass along. We'll look into it. Saturday, the next day, they said they had thought they had fixed it. So this should be addressed. And then by the end of that day, beginning of Sunday, they realized that, nope, it's not fixed yet. They were having trouble getting the pages that had been dropped re-indexed. So I think by Sunday or so of that week, pages had stopped dropping, but the problem still persisted because they couldn't get the ones that had dropped back in the index, right? So that was the issue as of like the 7th or 8th of April, which was just last week, beginning of last week. Last week, based on when this episode airs. So now apparently they've come out, they said it is fixed. But now you're saying you're still seeing problems?
Well, I'm seeing that backwards thing. An example is one of our dentists, from First Dentist, my other company. We did an URL inspection on a client. It says URL is not on Google. Said coverage is crawled, currently not indexed. And yet, site colon, no problem, shows up. Wacky.
Apparently, I'm personally thinking with all these changes they're doing with Webmaster Tools, basically, I got a feeling that you got two potential areas for problems here. One is Webmaster Tools itself is kind of buggy because of the fact that they're making so many changes to the new version.
Which is helpful.
Which is definitely, it's helpful because the changes they're making are actually really
good. Well, those are.
Yeah, but the bugs are not.
No, that is enough to make you go nuts.
And then there's the fact that they're always changing stuff, and occasionally stuff's going to go wrong. They're going to miss something, and there's going to be a bug. That's just par for the course with any kind of programming.
Yeah, it's. I guess it's a good news thing that we're surprised. This is pretty rare for Google Search Console to have so many oddities, and Google's index to have so many oddities.
Or Google to just randomly drop 4% of it. That's pretty rare too, I think.
That's a massive drop. Can you imagine how many pages that must be? 4%.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be hundreds of millions of pages.
Wow. Well, the news is it's supposed to be fixed. Yeah. That's really all you need to say at this stage, except that.
But
there's obviously some problems.
There can be people listening that didn't know this happened, and they go back and they log into Search Console, or even better, they log into analytics and they see this massive drop, the first week of April of traffic, and they're like, "What the heck happened? Why did I lose all that traffic?" And they have no idea. But that's probably why you got hit by this thing, random. It was very random. There didn't seem to be any kind of correlation to any particular industries or website size or anything. It was like as random as rolling dice. But if you see this big dip, the beginning of the first or second, or the end of the first week, beginning of the second week of April, that could be what happened to you.
There you go. All right. Next up, the new Google Search Console Discover Report. Now, I know you've done a lot of stuff on this, so tell me a little more about it. I've read up on it, but I've seen you being quite vocal about it. So tell me.
This is actually quite interesting. So it used to be called Google Feeds. So if you're familiar with Google Feeds, that's what it was. They just renamed it to Google Discover.
Something completely confusing.
Yeah. And now I'm pretty sure that this is, I'm going to ask you, Ross, because I have never seen this because I'm an Apple guy, and I'm pretty sure this is tied specifically to Android. Is that correct? Have you seen it on your devices?
Seen what?
Google Discovery
or
the Google Feeds. This is where, I don't know if it's an app or if it's built directly into the OS, but from what I understand, it's very similar to for us Apple users. We have Apple News built into the OS, and it just gives us a feed of news stories and things that are happening that we may be interested in, tied to entertainment, tied to science, tied to everything. And I look at that all the time. It's very handy. It kind of focuses in on the things that I'm interested in, but other stuff as well. And Google Discovery is kind of the same way. It's to get your pages to be found in Google Discovery, they have to be eligible to be in Google News, for example. So you're not going to get a product page from some kind of e-commerce site in that discovery stuff. But basically, there's no search queries whatsoever. These two apps, both on Apple and the Android, Discovery and Apple News, they just feed you information. Right. So as an SEO, there's nothing to optimize around. There's no queries. They get Google Discovery in particular basically decides what you see in your feed based on all the information it knows about you, whether it's from all the other products of Google's that you personally use. All the information they've collected about you is what they use to determine what stories or articles to show you in Google Discovery. Which is really interesting from an SEO standpoint because there's really no way to optimize for that at all. The only thing that I've seen so far that people have said has an impact on this is the image sizes included in your stories. If you're using thumbnails, they don't perform as well as if you use full-size images. And that's it. So for me, this is really interesting from the discovery standpoint of, you know, to watch this channel to see how it works and how people are using it and the growth of the usage. And so getting this new report inside of Webmaster Tools, and you'll notice I'm not using the GSC. I've decided I'm not using it ever again. Anyway, that's a separate story. But inside of Webmaster Tools, you get this new report about impressions and traffic tied directly to Google Discovery. So it'll show you when your pages and when your articles are, when they show up in people's feeds and when people click through to them. And it, and my initial concern this morning was because I hadn't dug deep enough in the tools. It does allow you to download a report of what pages are getting traffic and impressions tied to Google Discovery. So it'll be really interesting to take that over time and analyze and see if there's any kind of anything that we can discover that correlates across, you know, usage on these things that makes one page show up better in discovery than another page.
Another thing is one thing that is important to increase your, to optimize for it is taking the, what you mentioned about the images to the next level. It's important to have, yes, large high quality images, but you also, and this is critical, have to ensure that Google has the rights to display your images either by using AMP or by filling out a form to express your interest in an opt-in program.
And I'm glad you said that because AMP is also a key factor in this. Most, when I've been looking at the reports that I've seen, I got this on 3 of the sites that I'm now dealing, or actually 10 of the sites that I'm now dealing with and digging in there. Every one of the pages that we got impressions on were AMP pages. So if you're not using AMP on your content, the odds are you're not going to be showing up in, at least at this point, you're not going to be showing up in Google Discovery.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It is a strange name. I really don't understand why they call it Discover. I mean, I get it in a sense, but
because you're discovering content that you might not have seen otherwise is what.
But it doesn't have a connotation that it's news based, which is essentially what would get you into news. It could be anything.
That's very true.
And I don't like that aspect.
But I think they've already kind of have a definition around Google News, and people expect something very specific when you say the word Google News. Yeah. And so they had to use something different.
Well, whatever. They picked their own stuff.
Yeah. Nobody knew what Google was before they did that either. So
exactly. So next up, Google Search Console performance report has now consolidated to Canonical. We've talked about this previously, and I guess this is just the fact that it's finally done.
Yeah, exactly. We've talked about this a number of times. This is where if you have the different variations of your site, the HTTPS and the www versus non-www, all that stuff is now in the same report. So you don't have to have different versions of those reports and figure out how they yourself. Google's doing it for you.
So long overdue.
Finally. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Next up is let's get this one in. There's no shortcut to authority. Why you need to take EAT or EAT seriously. So this is a Stefan Spencer article, another great one from him. It is good. It's
actually read it.
My God. Wow, I'm buying a lottery ticket today. okay, so EAT. For those who don't know much about it, it means expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Now, in relation to SEO, what that is attributed to are your money or your life websites. So these are sites with medical or financial advice, the sort of things that will make a fundamental impact on your life.
Well, and Google wants to ensure where it comes from too. This comes from the Google quality rater.
Getting there. Jeez, always.
Wait, out of order.
Anyway, it was put into place again because they wanted people to be safer online, and that there'd be some way to qualify the quality of a website. Now, the people who were doing this qualification are Google's quality raters. These are people who have been trained by Google to manually process sites and determine, you know, what their expertise, authoritativeness, and trust are, so they can get a bit more visibility. Anyway. With that said, although it is being stated that it is, and again, this is not firm, this is just amongst many people who have got the connections, that it is only for your money or your life that this is applied to. It is something, and this is what Stefan said, and you know what? This is perfectly in sync with our show. It's something you should live by too with your website. And we've said essentially the same thing for years. You know, proving that you're the expert, that you have earned the authority and, or that you have the authority to earn a ranking is important. And part of that's trust as well. All those connect together. You want to create a resource online that people can trust. And you do that through creating phenomenal content, by being a leader, by having a great podcast like SEO 101, by I said that without cracking up.
Is that self-promotion or
no? Not at all.
It could be self-canonical.
You
could
I'm promoting you. Oh, that's right. I'm on it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
anyway.
Well, the one thing I don't like about the EAT acronym is it really kind of puts relevancy to the side, because you really still have to be really relevant in the kind of content you can create. You can be authoritative and an expert on non-relevant content all you want. It's not going to help you, right? And be trusted. It still has to be relevant. And I wish they would add the R in there somewhere, but then it would be tier, and that's probably not a good.
No, that would actually be quite appropriate, because if you don't follow it, you're going to be tiering. Although they do mention what you're talking about within their definition.
Right, yeah, they definitely talk about it, but when you just talk about EAT and, you know, expertise, authority, and trustworthiness, relevancy needs to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. So throughout, it's a good article. There's a lot more to it, but, you know, Stefan gets into the fact that, you know, it is important to, in order to build that authority, that you do build high quality links to your website through just doing really good work. And one of the things he mentioned is having a very strong PR strategy, branding strategy. You can have people do this for you. You can read, learn how to do it yourself. There's no easy way around this that is within Google's guidelines, I'll put it that way. you know, he gives examples of being published on Harvard Business Review. Well, obviously that's going to be high quality. You have people who are published on Forbes, that's going to be high quality. The idea here is that you just can't get in there from being no one. You have to work your way up there, and links from those places obviously have more benefit. And that authority, there's no reason you can't build that yourself. It sure takes time, but what does it that's worthwhile?
Mm-hmm. And trustworthiness takes time too.
Yeah.
It's not something, you know, you write one article, they're not going to trust you immediately.
No. And, you know, being there to help people and let that word get out that you've been there to help people. That's big as well. Nothing like word of mouth to back it up, because there's a lot of fly-by-nights out there. He mentions too that when you are looking for, you know, doing link building campaigns, that Majestic's Trust Flow and Link Research Tools LRT Trust are metrics that he likes. He finds that Majestic's Trust Flow, or both of them, either, you know, you want to see a score of 50 or above, or 5 or above if it's LRT. These are out of 100 or 10. So it is important that they have a certain level. Again, we've talked about these guides, these trust scores. They're only guides. They're only help. They're only assistants, but they do give some perception of just how authoritative a website is. And it's not a bad thing to help you with.
They have no direct connection to Google's indexing whatsoever.
No.
You can have a site that has, you can have two sites with the same exact score, and one performs 10 times better than the other because of so many other factors, right? So don't just rely on those. But like Ross said, it's a metric to look at, but don't rely on it as your bread and butter.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a call this morning with a prospect. Actually, it's a client we've had for many years, but they stopped and now they're coming back again, which happens thankfully quite often when they come back. In this case, though, you know, they've
good companies.
Yeah. Well, thank you. In this case, they come back and they say, okay, we're ready to do this right. And then I was excited. I was like, this is fantastic. It's a good company. It's got four doctors on it. You know, they need us. They need proper marketing. Well, I was excited delivering the final proposal to them, and they said, well, we're very excited on this. I think this is going to work great. And it was a good package, but you know, what we don't want really to do is content. We just don't have the time for it. And really the reviews we're doing, you know, I know building reviews is important, but we're really not going to get to that right now. Like, but we still want you to get lots of results.
I saw you post that, and I tease Scott all the time. But Scott's response was the perfect analogy, I think, to what you're talking about. He says, so if I want to add a third bathroom to my house, you're saying I can't use the hardware from one of my other bathrooms to build the second or the new bathroom? You got to add new stuff, guys.
Yeah. Well, and my example was that it's like having someone hiring a company to renovate your home and just saying, okay, go for it. Make your house, you know, worth more money, but you can only use the stuff that's lying around the house.
Yeah, Scott's example was better. Sorry.
Well, mine was the first one.
Yeah, yours was, but
he just copied me and made it better. I can do that any day. Made it
I don't know why I'm buttering him up.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm going to have to leverage this somehow.
Anyway, I'll quote Stefan at the end here. He's pretty much said what we said, but I like what was put. As with most things SEO related, it won't be a single link or a piece of viral content that suddenly launches you into the pole position. It takes a sincere and sustained effort over months, even years, to get to the top. Unquote. So, you know, there you go. It is important. Stefan's a great guy. I know he's got good info here. So, you know, give a read. It's worth it. There's lots more to it that I didn't mention, but we covered the basics. All right, let's take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to talk about Matt Cutts. Yay! And he's doing something I appreciate entirely.
Me too.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
All right, guys. I want you to come up with an ad for a patented platform that lets you see any company's analytics accounts. I'm talking Amazon, Tesla, Netflix, etc. You know, see their sales and stats in real time. It's called Nacho Analytics. Tim?
Nacho, regular analytics company.
Charlotte?
You can tap into analytics of major companies that don't want you to know how they're performing.
Right. And you can also check the traffic and engagement for any influencer on any platform across all platforms. Tim?
Okay. Let us help you grow your business.
Bailey?
So it helps you jump ahead in the concept and development stages so you can build your product better and ahead of schedule.
Absolutely. Nacho Analytics lets you see anyone's analytics in real time. Tim?
You'll be wondering, where has this company been my whole life?
Tim!
Sorry.
Sales, subscribers, and stats all in one place, and the data is totally anonymous.
Holy guacamole, that's good stuff. Now you have me making puns.
Let Nacho Analytics level the playing field. What will you do when you can lift the curtain on the internet? NachoAnalytics.com. Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Matt, I hope he succeeds here. He wants to bring back the plus operator. That's All right. How do you describe this? So when Google was better, you could make sure that a particular piece of, like when you're doing a search string, search query in Google, you could say Victoria, BC, and then put a space and then put plus, and without a space, put whale watching or whales. And it would ensure that all the results that appear would only have whales in it. Within Victoria, BC. That's just a kind of a crappy off the hook example. You're better at the examples. What would yours be?
So it's one of those things where you want to make sure if there's a little bit of ambiguity in your query, like new Jaguars, right? And you put plus car, you're not going to get a story about the new Jaguar babies at the zoo that were born last week, right? So when you can pretty much define specifically what variation you want on a search that's kind of ambiguous. Does that help?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the negative operator, honestly. If you that's what still works in Google search. If you put new Jaguar, you put minus car, you'll only get stories about the cat, not the automobiles. The plus means if you put plus, you know, car, you can only get stories about the car and not the cats.
Yeah. So what they had done, they'd tried to replace it by putting quotes. So instead of plus, you would put a quote around Jaguar. Jaguar. and that quote would be how you'd say that's it has to have that term.
And it's all related to Google Plus, by the way. They got rid of it because of Google Plus. And now that Google Plus is going away is why Matt says, well, we want it back.
Good. I like it too. Yeah, I think it would be great to have back. All right. Mueller files. Jeez. Google explains 301 redirects are not links, but I haven't read this. Go for it.
So this is kind of basic, which is good because this is SEO 101. We all know that the redirects are not links, but if someone has a link to a page that's redirected, the authority from that original page would have normally been passed to the page it linked to. Well, with a redirect, the authority and the data behind that page that's linking to the site does pass to the page that's being redirected to. So like if you have a page A is redirecting to page B, and a site links to page A, that authority that it would have sent to page A does pass over to page B. And that's all they're saying. And we've known that for a while, but we just want to make sure people understand that is still part of, you know, how redirects work. It does pass that authority. Mm-hmm. And relevancy too, by the way. Relevancy and authority are both tied to that.
Great. Great. All right, the next up is Google's. Google again says links not shown in Search Console are generally irrelevant. I don't know what
Let's start with the background of this though, right? Because forever since Webmaster Tools first launched and they started showing us link data, they have never ever shown us all the links.
Exactly.
That's been that way for over a decade, right? And people to this day still complain that it's not accurate and they don't show us everything, but they never have. But it's really nice for them to, I don't know if they've ever said this before out loud.
No. Right? Not that I know of.
Yeah, that the links that they're not showing, usually it's because they're not relevant. They don't matter because they're not using the data. They're not even really counting them as part of your backlink profile or whatever, which I thought was good to kind of touch base on again, especially since they finally said it out loud.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that, I don't know. I've always, quite honestly, I've never been certain or comfortable relying on what they provide in that report anyway.
Me either, but that's because of the history that we've
Yeah, we don't trust them. Yeah. There are likely links there that aren't shown that could be trusted too. I don't know. I don't know what to say here. I think that it's nice that they said this. I still don't believe them entirely, but
Well, I'd say don't rely on just the report inside of Webmaster Tools, right? Yeah. Make sure you're looking at other data ports. I find it interesting when people are talking about these kind of backlink reports, and people will talk about, I like this one, I like this one. The ones that the responses that I see that really say, okay, that person knows what he's talking about, is when I say, when they say, I never do use just one. I'll always use Ahrefs and Majestics, or I'll always look at Search Console and a couple others to correlate what I'm seeing between all these. You know, SEMrush is adding that stuff now, and it's always different. Ahrefs is always different. They're never the same. So you need to have multiple sources of this backlink data so you can correlate it all and find out what the pick, you get a better picture of your overall like backlink profile.
Great. Now we're at the SEO 101 Facebook group questions. And we've got a few we didn't get to last the last show. So let's jump on this. First one is from Austin Thompson. And here's a quote. This is probably a stupid question, but asking stupid questions makes me less stupid, I hope. If I want to rank well for quote unquote made in Tennessee, as well as made in Jackson, Tennessee, do I need to create content for both, or can I get by on focusing on just made in Jackson, Tennessee, since it has all the terms I want to rank for?
You know why I think this question is more interesting than most? Because it's using a geographic targeting in the query, but it's not tied to local search. That's pretty rare. I like that.
Very rare.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to understand made in Jackson.
So made in Jackson versus made in Jackson, or made in Tennessee versus made in Jackson, Tennessee. I think you could probably get by with having both on the page and not having to have separate pages. As long as you put both of those phrases somewhere on the page, you're going to do good.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious, Austin, why that's a target. It's cool though.
It's actually targeted. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like I live in Ohio, and there's a lot of people that I know that want to support the local economy. So they'll look specifically for products that were made in Ohio.
But then that is local.
It's like, not a local search though. They're not looking for a place to go buy stuff that was made, you know, in Ohio. They're just looking for that as an adjective around the product.
Hmm. Hmm. It is a very good question, Austin. And yeah, I mean, it just comes, when you talk about something like this, it comes right back to real SEO 101, like 1997 SEO 101. It's just ensuring those words are on the page. And if you can, you know, if there are sites that discuss this, you know, products made in Jackson, Tennessee or made in Tennessee, then make sure you, if you can, get a link from those to this page or, you know, that kind of thing. That'll boost your ability for those pages to rank momentously.
It also goes to the idea that in today's SEO, not the old school 97 SEO, you're focusing a page more on a topic than a keyword, right? Made in Jackson, Tennessee, made in Tennessee, both kind of fit under the same topic umbrella. So I definitely wouldn't want you to make two different pages on those. Back in 97.
Oh, hey, yeah. I'm not getting that detailed, man.
but I think
it is very basic is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think they're close enough. They can be considered the same topic and you can use them both on the same page.
Yeah, and I don't mean that derogatorily. I just want you to just know that this is not something you need to overthink.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and you know, I think other things might help. You know, if there's a chamber, a couple of chamber of commerces or anything, those areas that you're connected with, make sure you've got those links to your site. I realize that's kind of a regional connector, but you're in a strange middle ground there, and this would help. So, all right. Next question is from Gabriel Quiroga. I hope I got that right, from Madrid, Spain. He says, I'm a long-time listener.
Before you go into this, I love the fact that the Facebook group will tell us where people are if they're, you know, outside the country. That is really nice to know where you guys are.
It is. I think it's very cool. I'm always appreciative of knowing where our listeners are from, and it's kind of cool where we get found. I get a lot of prospects calling me from Australia, from the UK, from Thailand that listen to the show. So it's pretty neat. All right, long time listener, first time posting. I'm a novice to SEO, but I've been listening to the show for the past 3 years. I'm sorry. Okay. Recently, I did the 30-day
trial. We're not doing our job if he's been listening for 3 years and still a novice.
There you go. So recently, I did the 30-day trial for Moz for my podcast website. It was really helpful to take the classes and audit my website. However, the monthly cost for Moz is too high for my budget. I know SEO is going to be ongoing maintenance. Which all-in-one program do you recommend for the best price or even free? Thanks. All-in-one is the key here.
Yeah. I would, this is my personal opinion, not reflected by the company or whatever Webmaster Radio or Ross done. I would stay away from Ross. I lean more towards Moz is a bunch of tools put together, and you really have to understand how they relate. I kind of say if you're going to go for one tool that does that kind of thing, I'm leaning towards SEMrush personally.
I am too, but it's still costly.
Yeah, it's definitely not cheap. So a tool like that's not going to be cheap because it's so valuable.
Yeah. I don't know, Gabriel. I mean, if you need a tool that's going to help you do a lot, it has to be pretty much a software as a service. I shouldn't say that there aren't options. There are, I think there's the SEO Power Suite and there's a couple other tools. I just can't vouch for them. I don't know how good they are, but they do, I believe, run from your computer. And maybe that's a one-time fee.
Yeah.
Although likely there's maintenance fees you have to pay for to get upgrades and updates to make sure it continually works.
And it depends how big the site is too, right? Because there's tools that have upsells. Like you can get Screaming Frog Spider for free. But if you have more than 500 URLs on your site, you're going to have...
Or you want to save it.
Or you want to save it. But if you have less than 500 pages, you can just run it again every time.
Yeah.
Easily.
True.
There's tools like that that have like free versions, then an upgrade. And if you can work with the free versions and get the information you need, you could go that route as well.
You know what? I just had an idea, Gabriel. The other thing I would do is keep an eye on appsumo.com, appsumo.com. Wish I had my affiliate link on here, but anyway, check it out. I love it. Occasionally they come with a lifetime membership. Well, it's always about lifetime memberships, but to new products. And there are a lot of SEO products that come out on it. And I bet you'll be able to get on the ground floor or something decent. Don't just pick one. I would suggest buying five or six even over the next year. One of them is bound to stand the test of time and be something that you can rely on. And there you go. You bought it once and you don't have to pay anything again.
Yeah. And you know, if part of what you're looking for is part of that educational piece, you know, of course, things like our show and there's lots of free resources out there to learn how to do this stuff and how to use the tools. There's a billion videos on YouTube about how to use some of these tools out here. You don't have to pay for this stuff if you want to try to piecemeal it. But sometimes, and that's why these companies make money, is because sometimes it's easier to find the stuff all in one place and have that guidance on how to use them just directly right there with the product.
Yeah. And if you know you need a particular product and it's not something you need on a regular basis, maybe it's an emergency and you need some kind of backlink checker, you can always do the trials. Give it a shot. You know, there's enough good products out there. Heck, you could try a trial on one. Don't buy. Trial the next one the next time.
So I have to say this, though. Be careful, because one of the reasons I've always had a bad taste in my mouth for Moz is not because they gave me bad information or anything like that. It was because of the trial process. Many years ago, I won a contest on, Search Engine Journal about SEO blogging. And one of the prizes was a year subscription to Moz. I thought, oh, awesome. So I went to sign up, and they made me put in my credit card just so I could sign up, even though I had won a free year of their service. And then a year later, I'm like, why did my credit card just get dinged $200 from Moz? And I had completely forgotten that I had to add my credit card to it. So you got to be careful with those free trials.
Yeah. And that's not just Moz, just about every system will do that.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are some tools in Moz I really like. So, not a complete hammer down on there. For example, their auditor tends to be a bit better than SEMrush at the moment. So that's something to consider too.
And that's a good point, because I don't use any of those other tools, so I couldn't tell you which ones are better.
Yeah, we use all, my God, we have too many tools. Too many tools. There are so many. But they all have certain strengths, so something to keep in mind. All right, last question is from Caitlin Bronson. What negative SEO effects, if any, would arise from a competitor rewriting your content on a regular basis? I have a competitor who consistently rewrites, in other words, changes some words and phrasing, but leaves a lot intact, my blog content, and is starting to become a competitive in the SEO space. In some cases, they outrank my site. I've been able to update the formatting to retake those top spots and the Google snippets, but it's very, very annoying. If there is a negative effect, are there any non-confrontational tactics to mitigate that damage? Unquote. Very good question, Caitlin, and well written. I hear you. I cannot count how many sites over the years, because Stepforth used to be a real content machine. We used to do tons and tons and tons of articles, and they were constantly copied, rewritten sometimes, but mostly copied. Copied is easier to cancel, I realize. In your case, the competitor's rewriting it. That is a lot harder to combat. Honestly, I don't know what you could do legally around this.
So I actually looked into this when she posted this on our Facebook group, and I looked at her examples, and she put some of the comments, competitor page, and she's got some advantages that over her competitors that she needs to leverage more. She actually puts publication dates on hers. And the competitor does too. Hers are always published first, right? So that is hopefully something Google will take into consideration at some point. But the big advantage she has is her posts are opened up for commenting, and she has a lot of interaction, and she gets comments on those posts. Her competitor example that she showed, they don't even allow commenting. So what she's doing by adding that commenting, that's adding new, unique content to that page that's related to that topic that her competitor's never going to get because they don't even allow commenting. So that's going to be a big advantage for her as well. I didn't take the time to look into the backlink profiles of the two sites that she showed, but if you have a stronger site from a backlink perspective, you're also going to have an advantage there as well.
Very good points. Yeah, and first to market on content is important. Yeah. It's generally a lot easier to have an edge if the content's completely different, but the fact is the person is still copying you and it's going to take some time. So you're going to get that first kick. When it comes to the rankings in the end, you know, I think you're just going to have to continue to one up them. And hopefully that will work on a regular basis. You could probably hire someone on the cheap to help you with this. You know, someone offshore, someone who's got some basic SEO experience, because a lot of that kind of tweaking is not that difficult. It just takes a little bit of training, and they could help you keep on top of it. I realize that's an extra expense, and it's like, what the hell? But at some point you may be too busy, hopefully, because you're getting so much business. All right. Well, awesome questions, everyone. Please bring it on. We love answering questions on the show. So we really appreciate that. Well, if that said, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. If you enjoyed the podcast, we would appreciate any feedback on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast stream. We're literally everywhere, right? We should be anyway. And we will listen to your feedback. We appreciate it. Have a great week, and remember to tune in to future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.